Welcome to Indie Radio Garden, this week's highlights from community radio in the Philadelphia region.
This program brings ordinary citizens to the air to discuss issues related to health, race, safety, workers' rights, and the will to survive in pandemic times.
The first audio comes from 92.9 FM WGGT LP G-Town Radio. The hosts, Gayatri Venkatesan and Sahej Kaur, are high schoolers from the Pennsylvania Youth Voices show, who have a project about teen mental health during COVID.
Hey guys, it's Sahej Kaur.
And Gayatri Venkatesan.
And today, this week, we wanted to have a little conversation between the two of us to discuss the pandemic and mental health.
Being in high school and dealing with all the virtual learning can be tough, and we wanted to voice our opinions and experiences with the issues we face.
So starting out with the first question, I think that something that is commonly associated with mental health is the feeling of stress, which we all experience in different kinds of ways and situations. How do you personally experience stress?
Obviously, you know, the COVID pandemic has had a major effect on our lives. Many of us are facing challenges and emotions that can be stressful and overwhelming. And over the past year, we have all felt isolated and lonely, which can obviously increase stress and anxiety. Learning to cope with stress in a healthy way takes time for me, and anxiety sort of comes and goes, so I feel unable to control how it impacts me. You know, the news is always terrible, and school is often a lot, and I get really distracted and become unable to concentrate on work. But I have to force myself to get out of bed and into my desk in order to turn in assignments by the due date. And when I am finally able to go to bed late at night after completing those assignments, it takes me so long to fall asleep. And I just find myself staring at the ceiling, wishing I could be back in school and 500,000 people hadn't died and people could be responsible in the pandemic. And I just want to fast forward 5 years into the future and have a more clear life and sense of being.
Yeah, I totally relate to that. I want to be in the future so bad. Also, school is really different online because in class, you have to pay attention because if you don't pay attention, there's consequences. At home, it's really easy to be distracted by your computer, your house, what's happening in your house, your dog, your family, your phone, maybe a truck outside your house, the doorbell, your food, literally anything. All right, moving on to the next question. How does social media impact your mental health?
Well, I think social media is sort of, you know, there's the good and the bad. Oddly enough, you know, my parents are always like, your phone is what makes you upset and takes your over your time. And obviously, you know, I do spend a little bit too much time on my phone, and I should limit the amount of time I spend scrolling through social media because it's definitely reducing my productivity by 20%. But I also feel like, you know, Instagram and TikTok and YouTube are the things that are keeping me sane because they're providing me with entertainment when I'm just by myself at home.
Yeah, that's very relatable. I also think social media is the place people go, like, they're not only stalking people, which I feel like is so easy to do. You just, like, click on one link and takes you to another and you're like, whoa. Anyways, but it kind of gives people a reason for their lack of motivation because people stay on their phones for a while because they are unmotivated to do that work, that schoolwork, that assignment, because it's so hard to find a reason to do things because we're very much stuck in the present and looking to a future that's kind of really, really far away. It seems very far away. And that future is giving us little motivation because we don't know when we're going to get there. I know personally, I sometimes get so frustrated over the fact that this is the reality that we are in. And I feel like we haven't even processed it yet. Like, it's been a year, and that just doesn't feel real at all. I also find myself thinking about a world before and after COVID, like going to college, seeing my friends, enjoying life just normally. And then you snap back to reality, and, like, you're at your desk, and it just makes you really anxious and really upset. Next question. Do you ever find yourself belittling the value of your mental health and prioritizing it?
You know, I I do think that mental health is really important. And it's kind of funny because whenever other people are like, I'm struggling with my mental health, I, you know, I tell them to take a break. I'm like, your mental health is important. But when it comes to me, I sort of, I'm a bit hypocritical because I just feel like obviously there are people who are really struggling to make ends meet and suffering during this pandemic. So I'm very grateful for my help and the financial stability of my family, which leads me to struggle to accept my own issues because I view them as small and insignificant in a world where, you know, I feel like other people are struggling to get their basic physiological needs. And, you know, I tell people, you know, you should take a day off for mental health, but then I'll feel like, oh, there are parents who are struggling to feed their children and you are safe at home eating like five meals a day, complaining about your chemistry tests that you procrastinated studying for and now are up all night, you know, just complaining about. And, you know, people say that to cure stress, you should take a break, you should, you know, exercise, get plenty of sleep, eat well-balanced meals, and just try to unwind and do some activities you enjoy. But for me, I just feel that that just, you know, I never apply it to myself because I just feel privileged and unable to accept the fact that I too have issues to deal with.
Yeah, I think probably the most commonly used phrase that I use, at least, because I know so many people I tell the same thing, you know, like, take a break, like, give yourself the day off. But when it comes, I'm like, I'm fine, I'm totally fine. And I also like to make my issues very small when I'm stressing out over things way too much, because I'll tell myself that someone else definitely has it, like, worse than I do. But for some reason, that doesn't help me, because even though I know my problems probably mean nothing in the long run, they still impact my mental health. Like, I would never be able to take a day off for mental health issues because I know I have so many responsibilities. And if I were to take a day off, those responsibilities would only be doubled the next day. So in my opinion, stressing every day is better than double stressing to make up for the absence of that one day stress. In my mind, my mental health is less important than the work I have to do to achieve my future life. And I don't know if that makes a lot of sense or how wrong that is, but I also don't know a way of keeping up with a load of activities in school and not having some level of mental health issue.
Yeah, I also feel like being stressed every day is better than compounding that stress because, you know, you take one day off of school and all of a sudden you have all these assignments you need to catch up on. So then the next day, you know, you're just even more stressed. So if you just, even if you take one day off and you decide to, you know, slacken your pace, you're just going to be struggling the next day. And our next question is, how do you cope with mental health issues such as stress? And I'll go first. You know, for me, I am a major movie nerd, so I try to escape from reality by watching movies and or binging TV shows. And these characters, at least most of them, are in a pre-COVID or sometimes post-COVID world. So I just feel a sense of attachment to them or that nostalgia and that want to be in the future. And I can experience their emotions and problems rather than my own and just feel less weighed down by my own reality, which is sitting at a desk every day doing schoolwork. And to be frank, the past 6 months have felt like the same day on loop. I have become more involved in my community and tried to be productive beyond schoolwork, but the 8+ hours I spend staring at my computer is quite awful, and fictional characters just help me escape that reality. And just to throw in a few movie recommendations in here, some movies that I recently watched and would really, really, really recommend are Snowpiercer, directed by the genius of a director, Bong Joon-ho. Then we have Midsommar for any horror movie fans, The Hurt Locker, which is a war drama, directed by the incredible Kathryn Bigelow, and The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah, Gayatri loves watching movies. I also feel like every day is literally the same. I don't watch a lot of movies. Like, I'll rewatch. For me, I love to rewatch movies that I've already watched like 17 times. I don't know what it is, but I try to do some other things. Firstly, if I am feeling a lot of stress, I will try to get away from that stress for even just 5 minutes. If I have a lot of homework or activities, I try to walk away from my computer because everything is on my computer and I kind of hate my computer now. I try to look out the window, look at the sky, maybe even go outside to literally feel the life of the world, which kind of sounds stupid, but it does a lot. Because you have to get out of the computer and the AI and the technology and see the real world and kind of remind yourself of the life that actually exists, which is kind of sad, but you have to do that. And you kind of have to, I don't know, this helps when I think about myself in the terms of like the universe. I'm like, wow, I'm like alive and a speck in the universe. Next, I try to exercise, and it's really hard to find time, but I try to exercise 3 to 4 times a week because that is really the key to reducing stress. And I know like everyone always says that, but it really does help. And all the science aside, you really do feel lighter and just more alive after you sweat it out. And your main problem is, you know, catching your breath and not your chemistry test. A little walk or even a nice little dance party can help. Speaking of dance parties, I am one to, when I'm sitting at my desk and ready to burst, turn on my favorite song, blast it in my ears, and physically let out my feelings to songs that I absolutely love. Also, I can get extremely anxious sometimes, and when this happens, it feels like my heart is going 7,000 miles an hour, and my head just has so many thoughts. So if it's not test-related, because there's two different kinds of anxiety that I experience, if it's not test-related, I like to dance, like I mentioned earlier, because that kind of makes me forget about that anxiety that I have. If it is test-related, this is more difficult, but I try to remind myself about the preparation I may have put into the test and try to believe in myself, because even though it's fake, you gotta fake it till you make it. And something I recently found that helps a lot, it's a saying, and if you say it and try to believe it, it might help, and it's this, that your anxiety is lying to you. Because anxiety is 99% of you overthinking, so if you try to trick yourself that your brain is tricking you because your anxiety is really lying to you, it's tricking you, that kind of helps because you're trying to tell yourself that these things are not going to happen, and it sounds short and simple, but it really does a lot.
I really relate to using music to cope with anxiety. Taylor Swift and the Beatles have really become my saviors in isolation. In addition to music and dancing, I like to talk to my friends, discuss our common issues and problems, and maybe even send each other some funny entertainment back and forth to make each other feel better. You know, we don't see each other at school every day now, so it's, you know, we just want to keep up with each other and not lose touch, and just update each other on what's happening in our lives. And that just gives us a sense of connection and makes us feel less isolated. And, you know, you just want to feel less alone at the end of the day. And we're all going through the same thing, and having each other to communicate with really helps with our mental health. Overall, you know, I recommend just trying to reach out to people you trust if you feel overwhelmed, and give yourself a break, even if it's just a little bit. And do things that make you happy and focus on things that you love.
The second audio is from WJYNLP 98.5 Uptown Entertainment and Development, where E. Marie Lambert interviews Fatiha Abdul-Rahman, a principal at Camden's Forest Hill Elementary School, about how she uses her life story to encourage students.
Our guest today is none other than Principal Fatiha Abdul-Rahman. When I reached out to her, I just have to tell you, when I reached out to her, one of the things that I said to her is that her spirit was infectious. And during the pandemic, especially during the summer months, it was challenging. A lot of people dealt with sadness and depression and loneliness and, you know, you're dealing with illness and all these things.
When the pandemic started, I'm like, so many people are looking at the leaders for their cue. So many people are looking for, okay, should we be nervous? Should we, you know, and although, yes, that's a real emotion, but if we can get it together and decide, like, no weapon, nothing that will be formed against me will prosper. And I am going to choose. It is a choice every day. I choose joy. Amen. I find a joy in a day and share that joy with others.
Tell us a little bit about who you are and how you came to be.
Yeah, so I introduce myself always as I am the Parkside proud principal of Forest Hill Elementary School, and I truly am proud of every scholar, every educator, every staff member that enters our doors. We enter to learn, but we depart to serve. I love that. It is a story that I truly come from humble beginnings. It came from me deciding one day that enough was enough in my life and something had to break. Something had to break, mm-hmm. and that the chain had to break with me. And from there, making that choice, God just put me in a path that was so ordained that every time I look back and I'm like, wow, I can't believe that I'm even in this position. I'm not ashamed to say this, that I started off as a teenage mom while all of my friends were enjoying prom and enjoying whatever. You know, I was, you know, anticipating the birth of my daughter. And so I thank God for her. May 8th, I had my daughter in 1993, and my life changed. It changed drastically. I had to make a decision. You know, I laid down, so I had to do the things that I needed to do to be the woman that I now am. You know, those things that I wanted to do, I had to put on pause. And then 2 years later, I felt myself a mommy again. And so I have these two girls. I want to say that life was perfect, but it wasn't. We struggled. We struggled a lot. We struggled a lot. Mm-hmm. I tried school. It didn't work. I tried to go to college. It didn't. I was very unsuccessful at it. Not that I wasn't smart or anything. It was hard juggling everything, and I had my mom still in the hospital, you know, dealing with her mental illness. My father had left the family at this point, and I'm faced with being this teenage mom and not having the guidance that I needed. And very long story short, I found myself one day coming home to an eviction notice on my door. And, you know, I don't know if you ever felt like you're at your lowest point, but I was at my low point. Didn't have anywhere to go. Mm-hmm. So everyone said, well, why did you go home? Well, home meant my, you know, going home to a not a stable home, because my mom again was suffering from schizophrenia, and my family, it just wasn't a ideal area to go home to. So I tried to get help through my case manager at that time. They couldn't help me. I didn't understand why they couldn't help me, and I found myself, you know, without a home. We had a couple of weeks to get ourselves packed up. And I remember going home after talking to my case manager, because she, at that time, I just felt this feeling of defeat. She looked at me and she's as if she was looking through me, and she shook her head and looked at my daughters at the time. And she said, you know, those poor girls. And I went home saying, yeah, you know what? My kids could do better without me. They could do better without me. And, you know, growing up in a very toxic home, you know, you try to harm yourself. And I was one of those girls in middle school. I would try to, you know, harm myself just to take away the pain and not really knowing what's going on. And so I found myself, you know, on the bathroom floor crying and it's very vivid. It's as if the day happened yesterday to me, asking God, like, you know, I can't do anymore. And I knew that day was going to be my last day. I knew it. I knew it without a shadow of a doubt. I'm crying because I didn't want to leave my kids. I didn't want them to, you know, anybody, like for them to be in that situation. And so I'm sitting on the floor with a bottle of pills in my hand. And I have my daughters, my baby, she was 1 year old at the time, and my oldest was three. And I'm crying my head off, and I remember my three-year-old is asking me, she's saying, "Why, Mommy, why are you crying?" You know, like this, you know, this very mature question. And I remember looking at this child and saying, "I'm lonely, and I'm broken." She was my guardian angel at that time. She said, "Mommy, I'm lonely. You have me. You have Cheyenne, who is my youngest daughter, and you have God." And that moment for me, that was the moment where I realized, you know, I'm not in this by myself. I have, although I don't feel like I have this support system. I have my two girls, mm-hmm. and I have God. And all I could say, if I can get up, then I can change this situation around. And I knew for me to break the cycle, I could. The only way that I knew how to do it was through my education. And so, one, I took a leap of faith. I've never been out of New Jersey, and I packed my girls up because I didn't want to leave them. I knew that they were very important to my story. I packed them up, and we moved to Alabama. I went to a historically black college, Oakwood University. I struggled. I'm not even going to lie. Mm-hmm. I struggled. Mm-hmm. There were days where we did not have food. There were days where we didn't have electricity. Days where, but I just knew that God needed me there. He needed me to break the chain.
Wow.
Girls could do better. And so I went to school. I went to Oakwood for elementary education. So I started school under academic probation. They only gave me 1 year. And praise God, 2006, I graduated cum laude. Finally graduated with my bachelor's of elementary education. And I decided, okay, it was time to come home because that's when Katrina was happening during that time. I moved back to New Jersey, and I got my first teaching job. I got my first full year as a teacher, working as a fourth grade teacher. I must have did something nice because they voted me teacher of the year. And then God was just showing, like, this is your calling. This is the path that I wanted you on. Mm-hmm. And fast forward, people would say, you know, because I wasn't a young teacher, I was very mature. So they thought I was mm-hmm. doing it forever. I'm like, I just graduated. Graduated in 2006. In 2008, I was presented with an opportunity to go to Rutgers University to get my master's. Mm. So in 2010, I graduated with my master's wow. of administration. But during that time, I also was selected to go to South Africa as one of the Rutgers interns to study children of trauma. So I did that in 2008 as well. And God just kept accelerating me. I fell in love with learning. I fell in love with learning. So after my MPA, I got another master's in education in 2016. I'm sorry. I got an EDS in curriculum instruction. And then God shift mm-hmm. gears me. I became an assistant principal in 2015. Went back a little bit. In 2015, became an assistant principal. People just saw something in me. And in 2018, fast forward, I became a principal at Forest Hill Elementary School after 3 years of being an assistant principal at Mastery. Melina?
It's so inspiring. Principal Rockman was rocking the pearls long before then. And tell us why.
So I had a group of girls coming to lunch with me one particular Friday. And I'm talking to them, you know, trying to connect with them. And I had pearls. I've always wore pearls. It was just something that I would wear as a reminder of who I am. I am a precious pearl. And so I take the pearls off and I tell them, just like this pearl, it went through so much. It's gone. And I talked about, you know, I used to be a science teacher. So I'm telling them about just how a pearl becomes a pearl and what that for them, and you are a precious pearl. And from there, they were like, can we do this again, Miss Rockman? And so I'm like, okay. So every Friday, it would become my pearl group. So it's a pearl group where I would buy each of them every Friday. They would wear their pearls, and I would give them a pearl for that day. And, you know, first it started off, just look, your vision board. This is your name. What's in a name? I like how you said that, you know, names are important. So I wanted them to understand, like, first and foremost, what's in your name? When you see the name Maria, when you see the name Sophia, when you see your name, what's in that name? What does that mean to you? Not what the dictionary says, but what does that name mean to you? And so I, you know, really teaching the girls about the importance of who they are. And each day we met, so each week we would meet, it was a new characteristic and a new quality that I wanted them, some type of pearls of wisdom that I wanted them to, And it didn't stop at, you know, I was working at Mastery Molina at that time. And I said, you know, this is something that it doesn't have to just live there. Wherever I go, I'm going to take this mentoring program and mentor our girls, because girls, you know, our girls are, they're developing. They're trying to learn. They have conflicts. And the conflicts is not about somebody else. It's typically about within, not loving yourself, really understanding yourself. So, you know, every year the girls look forward. It's like a rite of passage. They look forward to being a part of the girls group, and they look forward to wearing their pearls every Friday, because that means something when you're wearing a pearl. And I always wear it, you know, every day, at so a reminder that I'm a pearl 24/7. I'm always on. So I see them now wearing their pearls and making sure that I see that their pearls are on. We had a Pearls of Wisdom breakfast, like a tea for our girls. The girls, we had women, powerful women come in, you know, and we always do it in the month of March. I feel sad that we're not in school, because
yeah,
would have these beautiful women come in and pour pearls of wisdom to these girls. And it's such a beautiful sight to see. We invite their mothers to come, or any and in their life to come. And we set my whole gym. It's not the prettiest, but we put pink all over it. We put tea.
Oh, that's so nice.
We make it feel like a place where when you come in, you feel like a young lady. You feel like, I'm proud to be a pearl. And it's been such an event. Again, we can't have it this year, but we're looking at ways of, but we still do our pearl mentoring online on Zoom, but for ways just to continue allowing them to feel, I am somebody, I am important, and I am precious, and I am, you know, we want them to carry themselves, because the young ladies, but you know, the first graders, the second graders, they're looking at them for their keys. They're now the mentors, and so teaching them sharing my story has freed me of some of the things that I'm holding on to. It's freed me, and what I'm finding is when you do that, you give other people the permission to be free also. You know, along the way, you're going to find other queens, other women that you're going to either glean from, or you're going to need to pick up and fix her crown a little bit.
And carry,
carry her. But whatever it is, you know, we can't be fighting with one another. We have to lift one another up.
Thanks for joining us. My name is Gabriella Daza, and I'm part of the Scrap Radio Project. Indie Radio Garden is a Prometheus Radio Project production.